Welcome and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the question and answer session, please press star one on your touch-tone phone. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now, I would like to turn the meeting over to John Hill and Brian Trammell. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. This is Brian Trammell. I'm one of the spokespeople here at the Department of Transportation. I appreciate everyone dialing in at this late evening hour. What we're going to do is have a few brief remarks from the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration Administrator, John Hill. That's the agency within the department that's responsible for administering the cross-border truck demonstration program. John will just give a quick update on the program for all of you, and then I think through the conference call folks, we'll open it up to question and answer and try and get through as many questions as we can this evening. So without further delay, I'd like to go ahead and introduce again, it's John Hill. He's the administrator of the U.S. Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. Go ahead, John.
Thank you, Brian, and thank you all for dialing in tonight. And first, let me apologize for the late hour. We had been hoping to make this announcement earlier today. Indeed, as some of you may have heard, we notified several members of Congress, as well as the border state governors earlier today, that we were expecting to make an announcement as soon as the Inspector General released his report on the safety of the cross-border trucking demonstration program. 1 hour ago, we received confirmation from the department's Inspector General, Calvin Scovel, that he has submitted that report to Congress. The department, as a result, submitted its response to the Congress, confirming the aggressive steps we have taken to ensure the safe implementation of the demonstration project. And you can find that report online at the FMCSA website, and we have a specific link that we can provide to you. We just received confirmation that Stagecoach Cartage and Distribution of El Paso, Texas, has become the first U.S. trucking company to be able to operate in Mexico now that the Mexican government has awarded the company the authority to make international pickups and deliveries south of the border. This marks the first time a U.S. carrier has ever been allowed to cross the border into Mexico. And we just have been notified that Transportes Olympic of Nuevo León, Mexico, that they have now been given the authority to expand operations beyond the approximately 25-mile wide U.S. commercial border zone. Mexican trucking companies have been restricted to U.S. border zones since 1982. These four steps signal the start of a year-long cross-border trucking demonstration project designed to allow U.S. truckers in Mexico. It will also change the way a small number of Mexican trucking companies operate within the United States. If successful, this project could ultimately put an end to a 25-year-old process that requires three separate shipments of every product moved by truck between the U.S. and Mexico. Valued at more than $20 million in May of 2007 alone under the existing border zone operations. This means less traffic and less pollution along our borders and more opportunities for U.S. trucking companies and shippers, all of which will lead to significant savings for countless consumers and businesses. Now let me transition briefly into the safety components of the program, which we believe are critical to the success and implementation of this process. Mexican trucking companies, drivers, and vehicles participating in the demonstration program must abide by the same, or in some cases stricter, safety standards than U.S. and Canadian trucking companies, drivers, and vehicles operating in the U.S. These safety standards include a U.S.-based insurance policy, full compliance with hours of service regulations, vehicle maintenance, driver qualifications including the ability to communicate in English, drug and alcohol testing for every driver, and every company satisfactorily completing the pre-authorization safety audit has had its drivers drug tested by U.S. labs. U.S. federal inspectors perform, and Mexican trucking companies must pass, a thorough safety audit in Mexico at the carrier's headquarters prior to being granted authority to operate beyond U.S. border commercial zones. The audit includes an inspection of vehicles the company intends to use in long-haul operations in the U.S. and a thorough review of the company's records to ensure compliance with federal safety regulations. Vehicles not inspected cannot be used for long-haul operations in the U.S. Inspectors also review federal safety regulations with the carrier, including those governing driver hours of service, to ensure the carrier is knowledgeable of and comprehends the federal motor carrier safety regulations. Every truck participating in the project also must pass a rigorous front-to-back inspection and is required to display a valid Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance inspection decal that indicates it has passed this inspection. These CBSA decals are only valid for 3 months and can only be renewed by passing another rigorous inspection. Vehicles not inspected cannot be used for long-haul operations in the U.S. Every vehicle and driver participating in the project will be subject to roadside inspections, just like U.S. and Canadian vehicles and drivers, and placed out of service as any carrier would be if they fail critical portions of the inspection. It's also worth noting that every day thousands of Mexican trucks operate in major U.S. cities within border commercial zones without incident. In 2006, these vehicles had a lower out-of-service rate than U.S. vehicles. And finally, what's next? Up to 25 qualified trucking companies from each country will be given operating authority in September. From October through December, up to 25 additional companies will be given operating authority each month until a maximum of 100 companies from each country have operating authority. And I'm very pleased that we can now take your questions, and I look forward to being able to give you answers to those questions as we have time and opportunity.
And if the operator can go ahead and remind folks how they can queue in for a question, that'd be helpful, please.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Please unmute your phone and record your name clearly when prompted. Your name is required to introduce your question. To withdraw your request, you may press star 2.
Why don't we go ahead and open up the first question to John Crowley of Reuters, please. John, you with us?
Yes, John Crowley, your line is open.
Yeah, hi, Brian. Don, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, okay. Can you just tell us when the first truck is can roll into the United States? Is it tomorrow or is it now?
Well, they have authority to do it as soon as we give them the authority, which would be technically now. But we know that practically speaking, they must establish a route of delivery of products and goods with their suppliers, and so we anticipate that to happen in the near future.
Weeks? Days?
I think days. We've had some preliminary discussions with these companies, and we don't have a specific time frame, but we know that they have been working to develop these customers, and we believe that it could happen in days, yes.
And is it on your website, the name of the trucking company from Mexico and the name of the trucking company from the U.S.? I'm going to need spellings and whatever. We can do that after. If, you know.
John and others, we are distributing the news release as we speak electronically to everyone on.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Thank you.
As the names of both companies.
Does that help?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Next question.
Our next question comes from Scott Horsley with National Public Radio. Your line is open, sir.
Thank you. Just to be clear, Administrator Hill, you said at the outset that we've just learned that the Mexican company, I think it said León, had been granted authority. I want to be clear. It's your administration that granted that authority, right?
That's correct. What we were talking about, Scott, specifically, was we've just learned that a company in the U.S. has been granted authority to go into Mexico. And that was the purpose of saying that we have just learned that because the Mexican authorities have just notified us of that process.
And how did you pick the first Mexican company?
Well, actually, it was the one that we did the first PASA on, the pre-authority safety audit, back in February. And they were at the first of the list, and so we decided to grant them authority initially.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Paul Krosick with the Copley News Service. Sir, your line is open.
Hi, Mr. Hill. I understand that there are up to 1,300 carriers, Mexican carriers, that were grandfathered in or were granted limited authority by the ICC in the 1990s. And I'm wondering if you know how many of these carriers are still sending trucks throughout the United States, and how many trucks are going throughout the United States, and whether you have done an analysis of their safety record.
Paul, thank you for the question. The last information that we have regarding these carriers, basically we track them by inspection activity or crash-related activity. And the last information that we had about 2 years ago was that there were 800 of these carriers that showed an active inspection record or some kind of involvement with our personnel. So I think about 800. And we do have analysis underway on that, but I'm not prepared to talk about it at this time.
Could I ask, you've presented the results of analysis of the record of Mexican carriers driving in the border zone. But you had all these carriers who were driving throughout the United States, as will occur in the pilot program. It seems like it would be an obvious thing to find out what their safety record was. Can you tell me why you haven't done that yet?
Okay. Well, Paul, I think those are valid questions. I think one of the things that I want to say about this is that the out-of-service rate that you've been seeing concerning the Mexican carriers include this kind of data. So when we do a run on how many Mexican-related vehicles have been experiencing enforcement problems, they're included in that 21% out-of-service rate that is what we've been seeing along the entire border zone, as compared to a 22% out-of-service rate for the U.S. national average. So those carrier statistics are involved in that. But I can tell you that our initial analysis of that did not show any adverse safety impact regarding those carriers.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Our next question comes from Chris Gutierrez with Fox News Channel. Your line is open.
Okay. Hey, John. Thanks for the phone call and letting us be part of this briefing. But real quickly, how many trucks does this Mexican company have that will be rolling into the U.S. within the next few days?
We have granted authority for two of those vehicles at this time.
Okay, two vehicles on the current. And how many other companies could potentially in the coming days be granted the same access?
Well, we have presently 38 Mexican domiciled motor carriers that have passed the pre-authority safety audit. But we have committed through this program with Mexico to incrementally include that number, increase that number to 25 per month over a period of 4 months. So the most that will be added will be 24 carriers in the month of September. And then, as you can see, we're going to have to be doing more audits of carriers to actually get up to the 100 because we do not have 100 in the queue right now.
Got it. And my final question is concerning the Inspector General's report. I'm not in front of a computer. Can you kind of give me a rundown of what he found and your thoughts on that?
Well, that's a fair question. I'm going to obviously let the Inspector General's report speak for itself, but I will tell you that there were some items that were identified during his investigation, and there were three of them. Basically, we had planned to inspect every truck every time it comes across the border. Now, this is a little bit of a deviation from the congressional requirement in that the congressional requirement in the 2002 Appropriations Act, and you can find that in Section 350, basically says that we're only required to do 50% of all drivers and vehicles, but for this demonstration program, we are committed to inspecting 100% of the drivers and vehicles. So what they said in their report is that how are you going to do every vehicle every time? And they wanted to see specific plans at each one of the inspection sites between us and Customs Border Protection. So we have met with CBP since they did this initial assessment in July, and we have developed individual site-specific plans for all one of those 25 border crossings, and those plans are now in place, and we're going to have vehicles and our inspector personnel at each one of these sites specifically looking for these vehicles so that when customs alerts us that they're coming through, we can make a visual inspection of the vehicle and of course, check the driver as well. The second point of the Inspector General's report had to do with making sure that state enforcement officials clearly understood how to implement the demonstration program guidance. And while the OIG confirmed that key state officials are ready to enforce safety rules, the IG report noted that some of the state procedures were not in place. And so we recognize this, and it's a challenge of communicating new policies and programs, and this challenge is not unique to the demonstration program. We work with states every day. More than half of our budget goes to grants to the states, so we're constantly communicating with them on a variety of issues. And so in this particular instance, what we're doing is we're working out with the International Association of Chiefs of Police, the National Sheriff's Association, and the Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance to ensure that all state and local law enforcement agencies are prepared to address issues related to the demonstration program. And in addition to that, we have developed a demonstration state outreach plan to outline training that has taken place and describe future activities that our agency will employ to address training and communication issues and ensure our state partners have the necessary information to oversee the safety of participating trucks. And the last thing that I would say is just that they pointed out that when they looked at the Section 350 requirements of the 2002 Appropriations Act, they verified that we had complied with those preconditions for processing Mexican carrier applications as identified in those 34 requirements. The OIG noted that for three of these requirements, we had implemented interim final rules and policies that differed slightly from the text of Section 350. And let me give you an example. One was we said that during the pre-authority safety and audit, the PASA, that we would inspect all vehicles that were available at the time our inspectors were on the premises of the Mexican motor carrier. And what they felt like is that we needed to be able to inspect all vehicles that would be participating in any kind of cross-border activity. And so what we're going to do for this particular demonstration program is we're going to make sure that we inspect every vehicle on the site of the Mexican carrier in their country before we grant them authority to use those vehicles in the U.S. And that's going to be done before any of those vehicles come in. I hope that helps.
That does. Thank you, John. That's all I have.
Our next question comes from Sean Lingell with the Washington Times. Sir, your line is open.
Hi, John. Could you tell me, do you know approximately how many American trucking companies have been granted permission by the Mexican government to drive into Mexico? I know you mentioned, you know, obviously one today, but do you know how many more have been, you know, pre-approved or are lined up to participate in the program?
The last information we had from Mexico is that they had 14 motor carriers that they were preparing to grant authority to at the time that we were ready to move forward. So those are in varying stage of readiness. And keep in mind, folks, that when we grant these authority, the carrier, for example, before they can be given the authority, they have to implement their insurance policy. So if they've done all the steps that they need to do, but they just haven't contacted their insurance company yet, we can't grant them the authority until that's done. So that's an example of how these are in varying degrees of approval.
And John, just really quick, I missed your the response to the question, I think the first question, about when we could see the first Mexican truck cross the border here.
First of all, it's a little difficult for us to know because the carrier, both the U.S. and the Mexican carrier, they have to establish relationships. And as you know, this program has been near the brink of starting, and then it gets stopped, and it's hard to develop routine or reliable customer base when that kind of unpredictable situation exists. And so what we're hearing from the carriers is that they could be ready to go as soon as days from now.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Michelle Middlestadt with the Houston Chronicle. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you for taking the time to do this. There was a news conference on the Hill earlier today where House Democrats and public safety advocates and the Teamsters were complaining that essentially the administration is moving ahead in violation of Congress's intent here and without all the due process, the safety and other standards and inspection standards in place. Could you sort of address the criticism that you've been dealing with throughout this entire program?
I'd be glad to, Michelle. Thank you for the question. I would just say a couple things. First of all, we have fulfilled every congressional requirement that has been passed by Congress to this date. And I think that's an important distinction. There are people who have made suggestions from Congress that more needs to be done or they want further restrictions, but we do implement the law, and thus far we are in compliance with what the law has required us to do. As far as the safety protocols, I want to just emphasize to you that I've been in public safety, law enforcement my entire career, 29 years with the State Police Department. This is all I've ever done. I'm personally committed to safety, and I am not going to be a part of a program that is not, at its very heart, going to protect the safety of citizens in our country. Now, I would just say to you one thing. Keep in mind that the U.S. carrier, when they are granted operating authority, they are allowed to get their insurance in place, get their DOT number, and start running as soon as they have their equipment up and ready to go. We then verify compliance with the safety regulations up to 18 months later. For the Mexican carrier, we have a system in place that all of these regulations that they're required to comply with, that Congress has told us to do, are verified on the front end before we ever grant the operating authority. So there's a very different level of compliance and obligation for the Mexican carrier than there is the U.S. carrier. So I feel very good that what Congress has told us to do to ensure the safety of the American public, we've done that, and we're committed to following through with it. And we're going to be working with three different groups to make sure that there's an independent review. The Inspector General is going to be doing a report 6 months into the process. We have a binational monitoring group that works between our two countries that are monitoring this for operational effectiveness and making any adjustments that need to be made. And then thirdly, the Secretary Mary Peters has appointed an independent panel. And this independent panel is bipartisan, and these are people who are well-respected in the transportation community. Inspector General Ken Mead, former Deputy Secretary of DOT Mortimer Downey, and former Congressman Jim Colby from Arizona. So all three of these people are going to be working independently of DOT to give an assessment of what's going on with this program.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Our next question comes from Elliot Spaggett with the Associated Press. Your line is open, sir.
Thank you. I had two quick clarifications. I wanted to make sure I heard you correctly. The Mexican company that was granted permission, they have only two trucks in their fleet, or you granted permission to only two of their trucks? It was unclear on that point.
Well, we granted they have, the last I remember, Elliot, they have, I believe, 30-some vehicle tractors and maybe 70 trailers in their fleet, but he's only going to be using two of them in the demonstration program.
Okay, and the second clarification was on any commitments the Mexican government has made for U.S. trucks to enter the country and travel there. I know you said the U.S. plans to allow up to 25 per month until it hits 100. Have the Mexicans made any commitments, similar commitments?
Yes, they have. We're working very closely with them, and we're going to be doing it at the same levels. In other words, we're both committed to a maximum of 25 per month for the first 4 months, up to 100 carriers.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from John Hughes with Bloomberg. Sir, your line is open.
Hello, just a little bit of a clarification. The name of the Mexican company, Transportes Olympic of Nuevo León. Nuevo León is the name of the Mexican city they're located in?
Yes, sir, that is correct.
That's the name of the Mexican state. They're actually located, John, this is Brian Tramiel, in a suburb of Monterrey in the state of Nuevo León.
Okay. So Nuevo León is a state, and they're in a suburb of Monterrey.
Got it.
Okay.
The town is actually
Okay.
Apodaca, and that's spelled
APODACA.
Get that, John?
Say that again.
APODACA.
APODACA.
Yes.
And that's the name of the town they're located in.
Yeah, which is
right.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. And my question is, I think you've been talking in terms of companies mostly. Is there any kind of number of trucks that are expected to cross, Mexican trucks that will cross the border as part of this demonstration project? Any maximum limit on that or any estimate on, when it's all said and done, how many actual trucks we'll see driving in the U.S.?
John, that's a good question, and it's one really that we get asked frequently. I would just tell you that of the 38 carriers that we have thus far gone through the safety audit, we know that they have about 176 vehicles that are authorized to participate in the program. Now, if you extrapolate that out to 100 carriers, and that's just making some assumptions that the same kind of vehicle participation in future carriers will be similar to what we have already, it would be somewhere around 500 vehicles. And we really don't expect it to get too much larger than that, just because of the kind of carrier applications that we're getting. We're not seeing large numbers. So we feel like around 500-600 vehicles will be the maximum.
And do you expect to get to the full 100 companies in the 1 year?
Well, I think we will, and I tell you what I think is going on here, John. We've got carriers who are a little reluctant to jump into this program because of the uncertainty. And I think once you start seeing some kind of settled environment in which carriers are able to develop these dedicated runs and participate on a regular schedule, I think you're going to see people on the sidelines saying, we need to get into this business too. Both the U.S. and the Mexican side, and I think you're going to see greater participation as it goes along.
And you're calling this a one-year pilot, right?
A one-year demonstration program, that's correct.
And at what point does it become more than that, and you know, how and when do you decide to make it, you know, a permanent thing?
Well, we've made it very clear from the beginning that our intent is to evaluate the safety efficacy of protocols that we've put in place. So I think the answer to the question is we run this thing for a year, and then we make a determination through these groups that I referred to earlier, the Inspector General's report, the independent review panel, and then the Binational Monitoring Group. And then through that process, we'll have three different perspectives looking at this, one internal, two external, and we'll be able then to assess whether or not there needs to be a continuation of where we are or whether it needs to be changed in some fashion in the future.
And last question briefly, and then you can cut me off. This is a long time since NAFTA that we're actually seeing this happen. If you could just briefly say, why has it taken so long?
Well, I don't think I can briefly say that. That's a long answer. I would say to you that there have been issues to deal with on both sides of the border. And both countries have had to work with constituent groups and overcome major impediments that were put in place by these different constituent groups. And some of that has been through the congressional process, some of it's been through just working through the issues of how you get our inspectors into Mexico to do inspections and how do they get theirs into our country. So there are both operational policy, and I think altogether it's just been a long process, and I think, frankly, in the latter months it's gotten wrapped up into the immigration debate, and I believe that that's where we are today.
Our next question comes from Sean Kilcar with Fleet Owner Magazine. Sir, your line is open.
Thank you. Thanks for having this phone call, gentlemen. My question to you, John, is, as you know, hours of service is kind of up in the air, and we don't know what's going to happen with that in the U.S. What happens, let's say the rules change at some point within this one-year demonstration project? How do you go back and make sure the Mexican carriers that already have trucks operating here understand the rules change and start complying with new rules, whatever they might be? How do you handle that kind of hiccup in the program?
Sure. Well, first of all, I wouldn't characterize it as a hiccup in the program. I would just simply say that it's going to be an operational component that we would deal with just like we're going to deal with that on U.S. inspectors. The bottom line is enforcement is going to take place at the border when they cross in to our country, and it's also going to occur in the states when state officials stop those vehicles and inspect them for compliance. Those officers are going to have to be fully trained, and they're going to have to make sure that they're checking a different, you know, if the rule goes to 10 hours and there's no 34-hour restart, because that's what the court dealt with, then those issues are going to have to be trained with the officers. And I don't think that's going to be as huge a lift as it was back in 2003 when there was a complete rewrite of the whole rule. These are, I'd say, even though they're significant changes to different parts of the industry, I don't think they're significant in terms of training drivers and also officers.
Oh, good. If I can ask just a follow-up, if let's say the rules did change, whatever those changes might be, would you have to send inspectors back into Mexico and sit down with the proof carriers and say, okay, these are the changes, this is what you need to do to get your drivers and people on board? Would something like that have to occur?
Well, I think there's the possibility that we could have an outreach component, certainly with all these participating carriers. And whether we would send them in or whether we would hold a meeting at the border and have the carriers participate, I don't know. But we will definitely be addressing that, and I would like to see where we go with this hours of service here in the next few weeks anyway.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Jonathan Reiskin with the Transport Topic newspaper.
Good evening. Thank you. In terms of where these people might cross, you mentioned, I guess, that there are 25 crossing points between San Diego and Brownsville. Can carriers from the U.S. into Mexico or Mexico into the U.S. cross the border, any one of these crossings that they choose at any time that they choose, and or to what extent do they have to file, I guess, the equivalent similar to a flight plan of saying, we will be making moves here, there, at such and such a time, or can they move whenever they want?
Sure. Well, that's a very good question, and frankly, I think it's more a result of practical realities instead of some kind of freedom to go wherever they want. They're going to go the shortest distance they can to make that run as economically feasible as possible. And so, for example, the one carrier that we have already been talking to about granting authority, we know approximately where that crossing is going to be, and we anticipate that that will be the bulk of his crossings. However, he has the freedom. If he gets a load over in San Diego, he can go over there, but I anticipate that he'll be coming up through Texas. So I think it's driven more by the nature of the runs and where they get the business. But one of the things that we've been working with Customs Border Protection is to make sure that this is a part of the automated manifest system. And I don't want to get into the CBP processes because I'm not qualified to talk about it in detail, but we are working very closely to make sure that the carriers file that information ahead of time so that CBP can alert us when they're approaching the border inspection station and we can be prepared to address the safety requirements as they come through.
How are you going to, as a follow-up, how are you going to deal with the issue of cabotage to make sure that these companies don't make incidental domestic moves within the United States?
Well, one of the things that we're required to do is verify any kind of violations that occur with these drivers or their vehicles. And so when we find evidence that that's occurring in the state, that's going to go into our database, and we're going to go back to the carrier, and we're going to do a compliance review or some kind of investigative technique to find out whether or not cabotage is happening. And if it is, we're going to take action on it. There will be an enforcement case given to the carrier. It'll involve both a civil penalty, and it could result in a suspension of their operating authority. So we're going to be monitoring that very carefully, and that's one of the ways that we have been going out and training law enforcement officers to identify cabotage and to make sure that it's a part of our inspection process. One of the things that I've been telling people, these Mexican carriers are going to get a lot of attention when they come in the country. Everybody says they're going to be able to go wherever they want without any kind of oversight, these people are going to be getting a lot of attention. And I fully expect that if they're involved in some kind of domestic move, it's going to become very apparent to the inspectors when they find them.
And if I may, one final quick question. In terms of what you may have heard from the Mexican government, are there any prominent names among U.S. carriers that might be included in this first group of carriers beyond Stagecoach? Anyone like Schneider, Swift, UPS, FedEx, any of the big names in the industry that we should be aware of that will be going into Mexico?
At this point, I'm not aware of the names of the 14 carriers that I have been told numerically. I'm sorry I don't have that information for you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Eric Kulis with the American Shipper Magazine.
Good evening. Thanks for taking my call. What kind of resources do you have for this, as far as, numbers of inspectors? I don't know what your, how difficult or easy it is to stay on top of inspections nowadays for U.S., domestic carriers. So, are you going to be spread thin? How much money and inspectors have been added for this particular purpose?
Sure, that's a good question. One of the things I would just tell you is that since Congress has told us about the kind of requirements they expected us to comply with in the 2002 Appropriations Act, they have appropriated about $500 million for various inspection facilities and personnel, both to the states and for us to hire to staff the border area. And numerically, I would just say to you that we have in place 254 inspectors all along the border that are dedicated. They cannot be used elsewhere in the country. They're dedicated to using those resources right there, and we don't offset them with other personnel shortages elsewhere. So those are dedicated people. In the states, there are over 500 inspectors along the border. And so when you look at that total number of people that are doing nothing but the border inspections, that's a fairly significant workforce, considering that in the whole country, we have about 10,000 inspectors for 8 million registered vehicles and 600,000 motor carriers. So I think you can see for this demonstration program of up to 100 carriers, they're going to get a lot of scrutiny when they come to the country.
What was that number, 10,000 inspectors for how many, 8 million drivers?
8 million registered commercial vehicles in the country.
Okay.
And 600,000 registered motor carriers.
Right.
So I think you can see that that's going to be a fairly large workforce looking at 100 carriers and a very finite number of vehicles.
Right. Can you go back and explain, I'm not sure I'd heard this before, so there, maybe this is past history, but there's a contingent of Mexican carriers that are already or have been operating long-haul in the U.S. under some kind of exemption and going beyond the border zone?
Well, one of the things that happens, and actually I should say happened in earlier years, before we deregulated the motor carrier industry back in the 1980s, the competition in this country was very closely controlled, and it was done through economic regulation.
Right.
And so operating authority was something to be owned and treasured by a motor carrier because that was their ticket to be able to run in this country. And so back before we stopped doing that in the deregulated environment, when companies were granted authority, they were able to retain that authority, and those 1,300 private exempt carriers who were operating at that time were allowed to continue to retain that authority. And what I said earlier is that there are a number of these carriers that have gone out of business, who are no longer doing business in the U.S., and there are some who still are, and those are the ones that we're talking about who have been allowed to continue what they've been doing for 20 or more years.
And so then you're working with CBP, then when you're talking about doing the inspections, that's primarily the safety inspections that you will do, or they'll be doing their normal security inspections as they do for all trucks?
That is correct.
And so then you're doing the pre-inspection at the Mexican headquarters, and then 100% of them as they cross the border, and then randomly or as needed as they're doing their routes throughout the U.S.
Yes, that's a correct statement.
I think that's it. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thanks for staying with us this late.
And our final question comes from Paul Classic with the Copley News Service. Here, your line is open.
Hi. To just go over the Mexican company, the first one granted operating authority, Transportes Olympic, is that the name of it?
Yes, sir, it is.
Oh, okay. In your court documents last week, those documents said the first two that would get operating authority were Luciano Padilla Martinez in Tijuana and Fernando Paez Trevino in Nuevo León. It sounds like those are two different companies. Why were they not the first two to get the operating authority as opposed to this one you announced tonight?
Well, Paul, I'm sorry I didn't write down the name as you went through it, but the second name that you just read, Olympia.
It's in the court document is Fernando Paez Trevino in Apodaca, Nuevo León.
Okay, Fernando Paez is the Olympia trucking company that I announced tonight. It's the one.
Oh, okay.
And so we fully intended to grant them authority all along, and we didn't change that. I think it's just a matter of the legal term of the way the company is applying for their authority. The second question is that we will be dealing with other carriers as we are seeing them complete all the process. And I told you earlier, one of the conditions for this is having an insurance company policy in the U.S., and if they have not filed that, we're not going to grant authority until it's filed. So the other carrier, we're waiting for that to take place.
Waiting for the insurance to be filed?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, everyone, for dialing in this evening. Appreciate your patience and apologies for making the announcement so late in the evening, but we obviously want to make sure you guys got the news as soon as it was ready to be announced. So thank you, John. Thank you, everyone, and have a pleasant evening. Yeah.